All right, guys, welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubow. And have you ever wondered how a powerhouse team like Yvette, Miranda, and Lamont Bird have transformed the real estate game, orchestrating deals from zero to $4 million in just 9 months? Today, they're going to unveil some of their strategies in creative finance and creative financing. You know, just to really let us know how they were able to do it with little to no money down. Yvette, Lamont, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that great welcome. We're so happy to be here with you.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the most emerging strategies these days is keeping the bank out of the business. And that's really vendor financing, sub two, you know, people actually be in the bank. And so is that how you guys got started in real estate? Have you done a traditional transaction yet, or has it all been creative?
So we actually are real estate agents in New Jersey here in the Northeast. And Lamont and I became, well, we're a couple, but we became a real estate agent team where we were selling real estate traditionally, and we were working with a lot of investors. Mm-hmm. And most of them are fix and flippers. And so we noticed that they were turning down a lot of deals that we saw to be profitable. Mm-hmm. And so we really started to become very curious about how they were calculating their numbers, how they were underwriting their deals. And so we just became students at that time of becoming investors. And we then started going into YouTube, doing some research. And I had been following Pace Morby for a few years at the time. Yeah, there was just one day that, you know, he had some content on YouTube. I shared it with Lamont. We were literally binge watching the entire weekend, watching all this content that Pace had put out, and then decided that it was time to go all in. So we joined the Sub 2 mentorship. Mm-hmm. A month later, we met Pace in Boston last year. We met Pace, we met Jamil in person, went to our first Sub 2 meetup. We felt the embrace of the community and the family, and we were completely in. And we never stopped. From October of last year to February of 2023, we purchased our first three Sub 2 deals in 1 week. Yeah. So meaning that we closed on three deals, one in Philadelphia, the second one in Columbia, South Carolina. We never even stepped foot inside the house. And the third was in Daytona Beach, Florida. That's how committed we were to really building this empire that we had committed to doing. And so, you know, different strategies for each one. With the Philadelphia house, we wanted to really dive into the midterm rental space. Mm-hmm. And then with the others, we were considering midterm rental, but ultimately they ended up being long-term rentals because the numbers just made sense there. And so, you know, that kind of propelled us into this journey of just purchasing properties all over the country. I mean, the numbers make sense and the property cash flows for us, that's really all we care about.
Well, it's what's nice about the strategy too is a lot of people are struggling conventionally financing properties to find cash flow because they're not able to take advantage of a 3% note or a 2% note. And so I'm, you know, more and more, and I think we touched on this in an earlier podcast today, it's just like cash flow is negotiated, not purchased these days. So do you guys like the most about this particular strategy of sub two and creative finance?
So what we like is, every deal that we look for, the interest rate has to be under 5%. We mm-hmm. will not touch a deal or a property that has the debt in place with a 5% interest or more. Anything under five, and you know, as far as the taxes aren't too high, which is one of the reasons why we like to invest in the Louisiana market, is because the taxes are lower, and we always look for a property where the interest rate is low, and there's really no equity.
And one of the another points to that, another big thing about investing this way is the velocity of the money. Mm-hmm. We can get multiple, we can be in on multiple properties at once, where you can do it in a traditional way with bank, with the bank.
Traditional banking. Yeah.
So, yeah. The speed of it, you know, I've always seen the biggest unit gains and velocity of investors who are using creative finance, because there's a lot of rules that come with traditionally financing properties. The bank's usually cutting you off at a certain point, or your refi money is out and you're locked again. So creative financing is a great way of, you know, expanding your portfolio really quickly. What maybe isn't so great about doing this business?
So I would say one of the challenges sometimes that comes along with it is that at least the way that we buy properties, we're not really lowballing a seller, right? Yeah. So we get them most of the time, they're asking price. Most of the time there's an agent involved, at least for with respect to the properties that we go after. So one of the downsides really is having to pay that commission. You know, that can really, tie into your entry fee, is what we call it. So, you know, the money that you have to come to the closing table with. Aside from that,
Educating some people who aren't aware that creative finances is something that's been around forever, but people think it's something new.
Yes, that's definitely a pain point.
So that's a pain point. So generally,
low interest rates, right? We've had low interest rates for so long that the people that did these strategies last time are probably retired. I mean, typically the last people who rolled out this on scale was like in the mid 80s when interest rates were high again, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
Been almost 40 years. And, you know, if you were 40 and doing real estate in 1985, you're 85. And
exactly.
You know, like you're 45, you're 43, or now you're 80 something years old. And you're not still running around doing sub two, but maybe you could.
Right.
You know,
although we have, so we did run across a woman.
Oh my!
The California lady. She said that she had been doing it since the 70s. She's at a title company out in California. So she actually remembers it from the 70s.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember. I was talking to my mentor the other day, and I think he's probably in his 70s or something. He's still very active, but he was telling me all about what he did in the 80s to navigate, you know, a 15-17% interest rate. And I was like, okay, right. I'm that's probably, you know, what he said was, oh, we're going to double digits. So don't believe that it's coming down. It's going up, and the bank's not going to stop until they see 12 or 15 points. You watch. And I'm like, I hope not. That'll be not great for, for a lot of people. So let's talk about you guys as real estate entrepreneurs here. Cause as real estate agents, you know, you got your education on like what things are worth and how to kind of navigate those conversations. But when it comes to real estate investing, what would you say is your guys' unfair advantage? You know, what comes easy to you that other people might find difficult to do?
I think one of the definite benefits to our education is being real estate agents. We know how to talk to other agents. There is definitely a code of ethics that is attached to being a real estate agent here in the United States. You have to, you know, practice your business ethically. And so we find that not only sellers trust us more because we're real estate agents, but other agents trust us as well. So, you know, they can tell right off the bat that We know what we're talking about. This is not our first rodeo. And so they trust and rely that we are, you know, doing things in a fair way where we're not trying to get over on anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially because there's a lot of, let's call them unlicensed real estate agents in the United States.
Yes.
That don't always close. Let's just leave it there.
Yes, but there you go.
There's a lot, like, to be fair, I mean, it's not that, you know, in any business, there's those, in real estate agencies themselves, there's people that maybe don't uphold the bonded position that they have. But I could see how being a real estate agent could be an advantage, especially with communicating with sellers. You know, you guys are definitely seasoned in that regard. So let's talk about the money side of things. There is a certain, like, there's a token of transaction to get into these deals, whether it's a few thousand dollars or, you know, maybe tens of thousands of dollars. What are you guys doing to raise funds for your deals these days?
So we typically, what we've done from the beginning is just build relationships, right? Because there are people out there who would love to get into investing, and they have the cash, they just don't have the time. And so basically what we do is we partner with investors like that. You know, maybe they have some money sitting in an IRA that they can't really touch right now. So they will move it over into a self-directed IRA and then they can invest with us. And what's great about that is that, you know, they're getting sometimes 10 to 15% interest every single month. And then we make them a joint venture partner. We actually have a deal like that right now where we did a lease option on it. And, you know, we're making about $1,600 a month on that property. And at the end of 3 years, that tenant will buy it from us for $600,000. So our profit on that will be somewhere around $135,000. Mm-hmm. We have a joint venture partner in that deal. So he's going to make a percentage of that. He's really happy about that.
That's the other nice thing about creative finance too, is there's typically a few profit centers. You know, you get some money in the midterm. You might even be able to get a little bit of money in the front, depending on how you put it together. And then there's the, like, equity payout in whatever the term is. So maybe 3 years or 5 years. Now, the big question that everybody always has for this strategy is, what do you do when it's time to renew? Because there's going to be a mortgage renewal. In some cases, you know, there's enough equity or debt equity from the owner. They maybe own it free and clear. But that's not always the case, you know, especially when you're talking about a $600,000 property. There's likely a mortgage with a term there. How do you guys plan to navigate that turnover when it comes time to renew that mortgage?
Right. So that tenant will have, you know, they're business owners. So they have a little under 3 years in order to be able to go out and qualify for that mortgage. So they would go out and they would get a traditional loan. Mm-hmm. The existing loan will be paid down at that time. Mm-hmm. And then basically that loan, that first loan would be paid off and we would just collect the difference of that.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the big thing is, and this isn't to, like, throw salt in the situation, but what's the exit strategy if they can't close? The new guy can't get the mortgage. What are you going to do then?
Fantastic question.
That is a great question. I'll let you take that one.
No, so there's a couple of things we can do. We would either rewrap it to them. We'd wrap it to them. Are you familiar with the wraparound mortgage?
Yeah, you could probably just extend the thing and, like, give them another couple of years. And, you know, we've done some creative financing where they were supposed to close in 2 and it ended up being 6 or something like that.
Yes.
And they showed up every month in the brand new truck, somehow a brand new truck, and paid their monthly thing. But somehow they can't, you know, get their credit in line enough to close, right? But
close.
That brand new red truck sure is nice. I don't know, you know?
And then so that's the primary strategy. Worst case scenario, we'll get another tenant to do the same thing again.
Yeah, my other friend who's really big into creative finance, he's just like, well, sell it. Just sell your option, in 2 or 3 years, and you got your equity, you got your payment, you got your control, you got your cash flow.
Right.
Sell it. It doesn't have to be to them. It could be to the
That's
next
it.
guy.
That's it.
They
Next,
just have first
absolutely.
right of
You can
refusal,
continue
right?
doing
But
that and doing it and doing it and doing it.
Yeah.
Till eventually we made our money
Right,
regardless.
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I
Or
always remember.
alternatively,
Go ahead.
what we can do, because lease option is one way to go for let's just use this property as an example. But let's just say in 3 years they're unable to qualify for a traditional mortgage.
Yeah, maybe they
Then
lose
we
their
would just
job or
become the bank.
whatever.
So we would do what's called a wraparound mortgage, where we would write up a promissory note similar to a regular bank, and then we would charge them an interest rate of whatever is agreed upon at the time for a 30-year mortgage.
So you'd instantiate a note, sell the note to them, and
Yep.
then,
Yes.
Yes.
yeah. So that's. Hopefully they qualify, but it's not the end of the world because they are technically just a tenant until they actually close. So you can always just get
That's right.
another tenant. I
Yep.
remember the
Yes.
quote was, "The rich own nothing but control everything." And when I think
Yes.
about that
Greatest quote
strategy,
ever. Greatest quote ever.
it really reminds me that like people get obsessed with owning things, but
Yes.
you don't have to own something to get cash flow out of it. You just have to maintain it and control it. So when you're bringing investors into your business, likely they're longer term investors because we're talking about 2 year notes, 3 year terms, 5 year terms. I don't see a lot of creative finance beyond 5 years, maybe 6 years, but I don't really see a lot of 10 year creative financing notes. How do you present these deals to, possible investors? You know, what is it that you're presenting? Where's the meat on the bone for the next person to bring their money to you guys to invest in something like that?
Great question. So typically what they'll do is we'll split the cash flow with them. We'll split maybe the option fee with them. And then we'll split on a sale. So their money is being made three
Three
times.
times.
And to make it worth their while, a lot of times what we'll do is if something changes with the cash flow situation or it's not making what we say, what we'll do is we'll give them the entire cash flow until their entry fee is paid off. Once their entry fee is paid off, which is another good thing about creative, the entry fee is a lot lower than what you would put on a down payment than traditionally. Once that's paid off, we'll go back to doing 50%. So they love that type of risk of knowing that if the numbers don't work out to what we expected them to be, that they're just going to collect the cash flow. And we're good with getting the cash flow because typically we're going to make something on the front end and then we're going to make it at the back end, even if we're not making it the entire cash flow every month in the middle. So we're good with that.
Yeah, investors like to see mailbox money. They like to see that drip. And when
Yes.
you're an
Yes.
investor, the drip isn't super exciting. It's usually like $200 or $400 or $600. And the fees are usually larger, like $6,000 on the back, $60,000. So those are really the meal tickets in it. So, you know, for people to bring that money to you, invest with you and really get you those instantiation or those starting investment fees that you need to like open a deal up, whatever it may be, whether it's moving costs or whether it's, you know, some amount of cash to get the seller to agree to the deal. You know, how do you get these investors to ultimately know you, like you, and trust you to get this money into your business?
So some of it is, the good old-fashioned way, just building relationships with people. From our first few deals, it was just them getting to know who we are, meeting over a cup of coffee or going to a real estate meetup, and just collaborating with one another on what their goals were, what our goals are, and see how we can work together. And then now, through our different investor communities, we've met folks that, just don't have the time to be able to devote to managing a real estate portfolio, but they do want to eventually, you know, get rid of their 9-to-5, and they want their money to work for them. So it's all about building relationships. You know, people do business with people that they know, like, and trust. So, you know, we believe that to be true. And, you know, that's kind of how we, have navigated, working with investors that will, you know, ultimately bring money to the deal, and then we'll just manage everything else from there.
And I add to that, Bryce, typically because we are so willing to do whatever it is to meet with them, get to know them. We're not hiding behind just texting or hiding behind an email. Mm-hmm. We're like, we'll jump on, we'll show you. And there's nothing like credibility than a track record. Right. Mm-hmm. That goes a long way. Mm-hmm. You show people what you do, they see what you do, right. They're more apt to trust what you do after meeting you.
Mm-hmm. So what type of money are you typically needing to get these deals going?
It all depends. I mean, we like to stay, as far as purchase price, we like to stay under $500,000. I think in our entire portfolio, we only have two properties that are above that threshold. But most of the properties are under that. And we like to stay 10% or less on an entry fee. So
someone's bringing like $50,000 for 5 years and you're paying them some amount. So,
yes.
If people want to reach out to you guys, they want to learn more about the portfolio and how that all works and possibly invest with you, what should they do? How do they reach you? Where should they go?
Yeah. So, our website is thekeyteamproperties.com. We're on TikTok, same thing, at the Key Team Properties, same thing with Instagram, and even YouTube.
Nice, nice. Well, I really appreciate you guys spending time here with me and unlocking creative finance, because if you're not learning the strategy, guys, you will be left behind. That is a guarantee. Right now, raising capital is always important, but more important these days seems to be how creative you can get with the capital that's already in the marketplace. I really appreciate the time, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.